In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A German shepherd, a French poodle, and a cat died. In heaven, all three faced God, who wanted to know what they believed in. The German shepherd said, "I believe in discipline, training, and total loyalty to my master." "Good," said God, "sit at my right side." "Poodle, what do you believe in?" God asked. The poodle answered, "I believe in love, faithfulness, and the happiness of my master." "Good," said God, "sit on my left side." Then God looked at the cat and asked, "What do you believe in?" The cat replied, "I believe you're sitting in my chair." How many of us have got cats or had cats? Black cats? White cats? Tabby cats? Posh person cats? All different sorts of cats, but they all have one quality, and that is the quality of persistence. So let's continue the story. Of course, God didn't give his chair up to the cat, but the cat had many ways of getting his own way. A gentle rubbing round the bottom of God's legs would perhaps win the day for him. A gentle rubbing round the bottom of God's legs, together with perhaps later sitting down and giving himself a good wash, with that "might as well do this" expression on his face. A lot of loud purring would certainly keep him in God's attention. How on earth does he make that noise, God would wonder, as we do. A gentle leap up onto God's lap would win God's heart with even louder purring, as God allowed him to settle and God felt his warmth radiating from the crook of his arm where the cat had settled. And there was a bit of gentle kneading going on, just to keep God's attention. And when at last God did get up, there would be a plaintive meow, and the cat would jump down, perhaps with a little affectionate tickle of the scruff of his neck from God. And when God had gone, the cat would jump up, settle on the chair, curl into a tight ball, and fall asleep. And when God came back, there was the cat. And God hadn't the heart to turn him off. And so the chair became the cat's, and everyone called him Pussy Persistent. That is the end of my shaggy cat story. Jesus didn't tell a story about a persistent cat. But in today's gospel, he did tell his disciples a story about a persistent widow seeking justice from a judge. And her persistence won the day. The high and mighty judge gave in to the widow who kept bothering him and gave her justice. Jesus tells us this story to encourage his disciples in their prayer life. He urges them to a persistence in prayer that stops them losing heart. The story is an extremely short one, but it establishes a principle that applies to all aspects of our Christian life. The call that we should be persistent in all our Christian living. Let's just think briefly of four important areas in our Christian life where this particularly should apply. First, taking our cue from our Lord himself, there is our prayer life. There's a very old collect that reminds us that God is more ready to hear than we to pray. We do find difficulty in maintaining our prayer life. We easily lose heart. We're unsure that our prayers are heard. We're often not sure that we're praying for the right things. We often feel we're stuck in our prayers and aren't making progress. And sometimes we feel empty and become less and less ready to pray. We forget that God is more ready to hear than we to pray. And so the call to persistence is an important one. It is exactly in our prayer life, first of all, that we need that persistence that drives us to our knees and lifts up our souls to God. Secondly, there is our worshipping life. The greatest gift we poor mortal people can give our God is the gift of worship. Worship which recognizes his glory and affirms his lordship over our lives. We do not live in a culture that has a framework of the Sabbath to help us these days. But we need some sort of pattern in our lives that enables us to be the worshipping creatures God made us to be. We need to be persistent in our worship, seeing every moment as a sacrament of God's presence in his world. Every moment a sign of his glory. Every moment a time with him. And we bring those moments during the week together in the weekly climax of corporate worship. We need every moment of our lives, whether we're at work or at pray, to be telling out the greatness of the Lord, for every moment we experience unnumbered blessings, giving our spirit voice. Persistence in worship. Thirdly, there is our life as ministers of God's love. Each one of us needs to be persistent in doing good as we respond to the needs of people around us. We need to do what we can, where we can, when we can. Persistently doing it. Not just when we feel like it. Not just when it will advantage us. But always. Persistence in goodness. Persistence in love. That surely is how the world gets changed. By each one of us doing what we can, where we are, here and now. And then fourthly, there is that area of our knowledge of God's person and his ways. Each one of us needs to be persistent in our learning about God, day by day, and more and more. We learn thus his amazing love for us. We need therefore to be persistent in our study of the Bible, which day to day can add to our understanding of God and lead us more and more to live in his way. The mystery of God's great love for us in Jesus is one we need persistently to be probing, so that our knowledge of him is deepened and our minds and lives reflect his glory. Our thoughts today center on persistence. In our praying, in our worship, in our life of service, in our understanding of the ways of God. We certainly will not get to sit on God's chair like pussy persistent. But there is a promise that we will win a crown of everlasting life and we shall feast at the table where God reigns with all his saints forever. Amen.